real. Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. Please stand with me out of honor to God and His word as I read. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Thank you. May be seated. Are demons for real? Are demons for real? Well, I want to look, first of all, starting to look at demonism. Demonism. The Bible mentions demon possession in both Testaments, both Old and New Testaments. In the Old Testament, Genesis 6, that's all about demon possession. In the New Testament, we know that Jesus and the apostles cast out demons before and after his resurrection from the dead. We know, too, from the book of Revelation that Satan himself will possess the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. And so demon possession, something throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testaments. So when we talk about serious things like this, and for some people maybe scary things like this, we want to keep it a little light. So you may have heard this one before, but there was this country church, and while church was going on, the preacher was preaching, all of a sudden, poof, Satan himself shows up right there in the church. Well, people began running every direction, trying to get out the door, including the preacher, just cleared out the whole place, except for one elderly gentleman sitting on the second row. So Satan walks up to him. He says, Do you know who I am? The man says, I know exactly who you are. He said, And you're not afraid of me? The man says, I'm not afraid of you. Satan says, Well, if you know who I am, how is it you're not afraid of me? He said, I've been married to your sister for 40 years. That's funny, isn't it? Know this about demon possessions. Demons can only possess the living. Demons can only possess the living. Never inanimate objects. You hear about a house that's infested with demons, or grandma's chair has a demon and it starts rocking back and forth or something like that. Demons don't possess things. Demons possess the living. Never inanimate objects, and never a genuine believer. If you are a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, that means your spirit is already filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and there's no room for a demon or Satan himself to move in. But be warned, if you're not a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, you're fair game. You're fair game. If the Holy Spirit is not living in you, there is room for one or more demons to come on in. And we know that multiple demons can possess one individual. Multiple demons can possess one individual. You might remember the character from the New Testament, Legion. Legion had a multitude of demons possessing him. Mary Magdalene had seven demons living in her. And so it would be bad enough to have one, but you need to know that more than one can dwell inside a person. What does demonic possession look like today? Well, there are several things, and this is from a personal interview I had with a guy, a Southern Baptist pastor who was very familiar with exorcism and demonism and all of that. And here's what he says today. Here's how you can spot demonism, a demon possession. But let me say this before I even give you this list. Well, I know there's a list looking at you right there. This is an indicative list, not a definitive list. People may have some of these characteristics without actually being possessed. So I don't want you to see, hear some of the things that I say. It's like, oh man, that's my neighbor. My neighbor has that and that. My neighbor's demon-possessed. Well, your neighbor might be demon-possessed, but is not necessarily demon-possessed. But these should throw up red flags. First of all, a preoccupation with death. Somebody has a and I'm not talking about somebody that's very elderly and they're looking forward to going home. Since I've been here, I've had three people tell me they're ready to go when God's ready for them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that's just preoccupied with this whole idea of death. They just get into it. Whether it's in their music that they listen to or their art. Because Satan is all about death. Jesus is about life. Perhaps these people engage in violent, abusive behavior, particularly cuts on their own body. Now, why in the world would people cut their bodies? Well, Satan hates people. And the reason Satan hates people is that people are created in the image of God. And so when Satan looks at us, he sees God. He hates God. And so if he or one of his demons possess somebody, they will try to mar the body that reminds him of God. Those who are demon-possessed will exhibit inordinate sexual desires, like pedophilia or homosexuality. Again, I'm not saying because somebody is a pedophile, they're automatically demon-possessed, although I kind of think they are, in my personal opinion. Or homosexual, because they're homosexual, they're demon-possessed. But what I'm saying is these are signs, inordinate sexual desires. A fourth characteristic of somebody who's demon-possessed is they have sudden changes in personality. Again, I know there's something called bipolarism out there, and I know that's a condition that can be medicated. But sometimes it's not bipolar. It's a demon in there, or more than one. Fifthly, these people have an absolute aversion to the things of God. And so they don't want to talk to you about God. They don't want to talk about the Bible. They don't want to talk about church. They have an absolute aversion to the things of God. And sixthly, they may have an unusual power of persuasion. I am telling you that evil world leaders and newsmakers are not acting independently. I said this a few weeks ago, but evil world leaders and newsmakers are not acting independently. Satan is the god of this world, and he remains very active in it, personally and through his demonic minions. Look what Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He says, in whom the God, notice a little g there, talking about Satan, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is the God, little g, of this world. This is his domain. And so he influences, he and his demons influence people and can give them an unusual power of persuasion. I wonder, folks, like in the news, David Koresh, those people like that, and the Heaven's Gates, and all those we heard of. We haven't heard of anything recently like that. But where these people just, they follow these men or these women, and they just blindly follow them, even killing themselves. Who has that kind of power of persuasion over somebody? Well, in human flesh, I don't think anybody really has that kind of power. But somebody who's possessed by Satan himself or a demon would exhibit that kind of powerful persuasion. So, again, demonic possession today from an expert, not from me. Preoccupation with death, violent abusive behavior, inordinate sexual desire, sudden changes in personality, absolute aversion to the things of God, and unusual powers of persuasion. So that's demonism. Secondly, I want us to look at exorcism. Exorcism. Jesus delivered many folks from demon possession. Demons all knew and feared him. Look at verse 11 here in chapter 3. It says, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, talking about Jesus, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And so demons knew and feared him. Know this, demons and Satan are not all powerful. God is all powerful. Demons and Satans are not all powerful. The power they have has been given to them by Jesus, but they are subject to Jesus. Demons and Satan are halted by the very name of Jesus. They are stopped in their tracks by the very name of Jesus. He is their creator. He is their superior. He is their conqueror. And that's why Satan and demons are halted by the very name of Jesus. Now, people may claim to be exorcists, but only Jesus can reverse demonic possessions. One of my favorite stories in the book of Acts is in Acts chapter 19. I don't know if you're familiar with this. There's a guy that tries to be an exorcist. He figures, he sees what Paul's doing and so on. He's like, man, I'd like to get in on that. And so he tries. So let's read this. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I love that. I know Jesus. I know. Who in the world are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I love that story. I love that story. He's like, we want to exorcise this demon in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. They didn't know who Jesus was, really. They didn't have a personal relationship. And they get beat up as a result. Consider Jesus' encounter with Legion. This is in Mark chapter 5. I mentioned him before. Turn with me there to Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. It says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, nope, not with chains. because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Jesus cast a multitude of demons out of this man, demonstrating, first of all, his power to do so, and secondly, Satan's disregard for humanity. Why in the world would Satan possess and just destroy this man's life? What joy would he get out of that? Well, know this, that Satan wants to destroy you. Just like we see with Legion here, Satan wants to destroy you. Legion's life was being destroyed by demonic possession. In verse 5, we see he cut himself physically. He cried out in mental anguish. He was often bound in chains and fetters to control him, which he escaped with superhuman, or what I would call demonic strength, in verse 4. I'm lost. Here we go. Sorry. Satan wants to destroy you. Satan is even now deceiving unbelievers unto eternal destruction in hell. As I mentioned this morning, hell is a real place. And hell is a place that was made for the devil and demons. As we looked at this verse this morning, Matthew 25:41, "Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." As I also mentioned this morning, hell is not a party. It is darkness, fire, torment, and loneliness forever. And hell is for all who do not receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Well, Satan wants to destroy you like he wanted to destroy Legion, but Satan also wants to destroy what you have. He wants to destroy your things. Think about Legion. Legion had nothing. He had no family or friends. He was all alone. He had no clothes. Now, we don't learn that from Mark, but we read in Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. Luke, like a lot of the evangelists do, they give us some extra information. You have to read all of them to know what really happened. We talked about that Wednesday night, 3 weeks ago. But he had no clothes. He had no home. He lived in the tombs, we learn here in verse 3. He had no name, just a number. He had no name, just a number. Look at verse 9, and Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, Legion, the literal interpretation of that word Legion in Greek, is 6,120 soldiers. That's the literal interpretation. Legion, the figurative translation of that word, means a multitude. And so maybe this man, Legion, had 6,120 demons living in him. Or maybe he just had more than one, a multitude. We don't know, and it doesn't really matter. But following his exorcism, this man is not named. So he had nothing, no family, no clothes, no home, no name. Just a number. Satan wants to destroy what you have. Legion had nothing. What about the pig farmer? You know the rest of this story. The pig farmer lost his entire herd because those demons said, "Hey, listen, our time isn't yet. Why don't you cast us into those pigs over there?" Why didn't they say, "Why don't you put us in a haunted house? Or why don't you put us in grandma's rocking chair?" Because they can't possess something that is non-living. So they saw these pigs over there who were living. And Jesus actually had mercy on them because their time had not come yet. Look in verse 13. "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea." Jesus had mercy on them. Their time had not yet come. Their time would be, their ultimate defeat would be at the cross, and their final defeat would be in the lake of fire yet to come. We read about that in Revelation chapter 20, the ultimate final defeat in Revelation chapter 20, in verse 10, where we read, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And also over in verse 15, it says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So that was their final defeat. But it wasn't time yet. So they said, "Hey, let us go in those pigs over there." And Jesus gives them permission. Not that Jesus didn't know what was going to happen, but these demons double-crossed Jesus and destroyed what the farmer had. The point I'm making is Satan wants to destroy what you have. Legion had nothing. The pig farmer lost his entire herd. You see, Satan cannot get believers, but he can get to what we have. He can't possess us, but he can get to our stuff. He can get to the things that we have, like our relationship to God. Now, he can't take away that relationship, but he can make sure we're too busy. He can make sure we're too lazy to read our Bible, to pray, to attend church. Again, you were upset that I passed out gold stars this morning. Well, you'll get one for tonight. How's that? Okay. I didn't really pass out gold stars. I just said that. I didn't even plan to say it. Just be careful. Sometimes I just say stuff I don't even know where it's coming from. So anyway, but he can't take away your relationship to God, but he can hinder it. Or what about your family? Maybe you're too busy for each other. Or maybe you squabble about stupid stuff. I mean, there's big stuff that we need to, you know, hash out in our families. But a lot of times it's just stupid stuff. And Satan's right there in the middle of that. Or our relationships we have with other people through unforgiveness. Satan and demons lead us not by possession, but they lead us to harbor unforgiveness. Or what about finances? He can destroy our finances by getting us to refuse to honor God with them because of our own greed or because of our overextension of debt. And all of a sudden then we're trying to pay our bills and we don't have enough money to honor God. Or what about our material possessions? He'll want to destroy those too, leading us through many means to become poor stewards of them. So Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy what you have. And Satan wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your testimony. Now, testimony is what God has done in your life. And the Christian's most powerful weapon is our personal testimony. Because nobody can refute what happened to you. They can talk theology with you. That you can compare verses and translations and say, well, I think the Greek means this here. Well, no, I think it means this. And back and forth. But when you share your faith in Christ, you tell them your story, how you came to be a believer in Jesus Christ, they can't look at you and say, that didn't happen. That's not true. There's no refuting your personal testimony. But Satan wants to destroy your testimony. Your experience with God is unique. And testimonies are meant to be shared. But this man, Legion, noticed that he didn't want to share his testimony. He just wanted to say with Jesus. Look down at verse 18. And when he, Jesus, was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He said, Jesus, I just want to hang with you. I just want to stay with you. But Jesus told him to go out and share his testimony, which, by the way, he did exactly that. Look in verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them how great thing the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. But Satan was trying to destroy this man's testimony from the get-go. And the guy had a good reason. He just wanted to be with Jesus. Who wouldn't want to be with Jesus? But that's not what Jesus wanted. He said, no, you've got a testimony now. Go share it. And this guy did exactly what Jesus told him to do. Testimonies are meant to be shared. You need to share your testimony among believers. But take it on the road. You know, when Ken gives opportunities for people to share on Sunday nights, and sometimes he'll say, does anybody have something you want to share? Does anybody have a testimony you want to share? It's a great time, not only on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, but Sunday mornings or in Sunday school. Share your testimony. Get used to telling people how you came to Christ. In fact, I think we're going to do that. I'm going to ask the deacons to start sharing their testimony on Sunday mornings. I think that'd be neat just to hear their stories. Maybe you know their stories. I don't know their stories, so I'd like to hear it. And if you've already heard it, maybe you need to hear it again. The easiest place to share your testimony is with a bunch of believers. Just like the easiest place to come forward in church is with a bunch of believers. Because we're all excited. We're all happy for you. It's a lot harder to share your faith out there where people may be hostile to it. So absolutely, share your testimony here at church. Share your testimony with fellow believers. But take it on the road. But I want to ask you this about your testimony. Does your life match your personal testimony? Does the life you live match your verbal testimony? Because your actions are a testimony as well. Are you living a consistent Christian life? Are you obedient to Christ in every way? Because nobody wants to hear what God did for you way back when if they can't see any evidence that He's working in your life now. Let me say that again. Nobody wants to hear what God did for you way back when if they can't see any evidence that He's working in you now. You see, Satan destroys, Jesus gives life. Satan destroys, Jesus gives life. Note this once demon-possessed man at peace. Look in verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Once this man encountered Jesus in a personal way, this guy that had been crazy, that's been breaking out of his chains and all that stuff, he's at peace. He's just sitting there in his right mind, hanging out. Satan had been trying to destroy him, but Jesus gave him a new life and a great testimony. What is Satan doing in your life? Look what Jesus said about this. And I did mean to say, what is Satan doing in your life? I didn't mean to say, what is God doing in your life? What is Satan doing in your life? Look what Jesus says here in John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. What is Satan doing in your life? Satan offers destruction. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy what you have. He wants to steal your testimony. But Jesus offers life. He offers life to you personally, eternally, and Jesus offers life to others through your personal testimony. And Jesus still delivers today. He still delivers today by binding the strong man, Satan. Look down to verse 27, back to chapter 3. He says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So Jesus still delivers today by binding the strong man, Satan. Satan is bound by God's power. Satan is bound by God's presence. When we receive Jesus as personal Savior, the power of the cross and resurrection become effectual for us personally. Let me say that again. When we receive Jesus as Savior, the power of the cross and resurrection become effectual for us personally. The cross and subsequent resurrection is Satan's defeat. And again, once we are possessed by the Holy Spirit, we can never be possessed by demons. And so we've seen demonism. We know a little bit about that now. We see exorcism. And finally, I want us to look at criticism. The scribe said Jesus was casting out demons by satanic power. Again, look in verse 22 that I read. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils, he's casting out devils. The scribe said Jesus was using satanic power to defeat Satan. And Jesus responds with four statements. First one, verse 23, how can Satan cast himself out? The second statement, verse 24, a kingdom divided cannot stand. Verse 25, a house divided cannot stand. And verse 26, Satan divided has defeated himself. And so they criticize Jesus. They accuse him of being satanic, demonic. And Jesus says, how can Satan cast himself out? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. Satan divided has defeated himself. Jesus asserts that he is the one who has bound the strong man. Satan rules over his kingdom of sin, sickness, and death. This coronavirus, it's all part of Satan's kingdom. That's what he's into, sickness and death. Jesus invaded and defeated Satan's kingdom by forgiving sin through his death, healing sickness by his power, and defeating death by his resurrection. He binds Satan in us when we receive him as Savior. When we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. that Jesus was buried for our sins, that Jesus rose again from the dead, when we truly and personally believe and receive that, Satan is bound in our lives. He cannot possess us. His demons cannot possess us. He can get to our stuff. He can get to our families. He can get to our things. He can't get to us. But we need to beware. We need to be on the watch. The Bible says Satan's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy, devour. Hell is real. Satan's real. Demons are real. But we don't need to be afraid. We have God Almighty living in us through His Spirit. But be on the watch. Because Satan does want to destroy you. He wants to destroy what you have. And he wants to destroy your testimony. The Bible says if we submit ourselves to God, the devil will flee from us. Remain submitted to Almighty God through Jesus Christ. And you see, Satan, like I said before, he's not all powerful. And he's no idiot either. He's not dumb. He's very intelligent, very powerful. But Satan is not like God. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But Satan and his demons can only be in one place at one time. And so, Satan's going to come your way. Demons are going to come your way. But if you're fully submitted to God, if you're fully resisting the devil, he's going to try and he's going to say, you know what, this person's too strong. I'm going to go on to somewhere else because I've got a short time here and there's a lot of people. So submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. But he's powerful. He's real. And he has only evil intentions for you. But don't worry. You are possessed and you are protected by Almighty God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time tonight, for the songs and the sharing and your word. Thank you that we are possessed by your Spirit, so we don't have to worry about demonic possession. But there are folks in this world, perhaps folks in our families or our circle of influence, who are demon possessed. Father, be gracious to them. Deliver them from those demons. And help us to submit to you and resist the devil so that he may flee, so that he doesn't destroy us, he doesn't destroy our stuff, and by all means doesn't destroy our testimony. Bless us as we go this week. Give us opportunities to share our genuine faith in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Good night.